Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Simcast. That wasn't a pause because I was going to say the wrong thing.
No, definitely not.
Of course.
I'm quite impressed that I haven't yet.
We're 8 episodes in, and I think... Have any of us said it?
No.
I don't think so.
This is not a bet any of us are going to lose at this point, which is jolly good.
No, I think we're past the point where we could make that mistake. I think we've done it.
You say that.
Welcome to the... No, anyway.
Welcome to the Simcast. We do occasionally talk about sim racing news.
No, we don't.
Drink.
That's why we have your show. This is the place for fun. And
I don't know what you think we do around here, but...
See, I was gonna say something about you using that accent, but actually the side of the country you're on, that's actually perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, it is. That's actually the first time I've actually been able to do that. So...
Have you seen that? There's a sketch. Who did it? Mike McIntyre, the one who gets confused with Kim Jong Un.
Oh yes.
Yeah. And he said it's a very funny thing that you start off in. So he obviously starts at one end of the stage, and the general greetings will go from the southeast. You're right, and then you head into the home counties. Hello, then you head into the West Country, and it's you're right. it's actually pretty spot on.
Trying to remember, there's a comedian on this side that does it. The only one that I can think of right now is Robin Williams, just because he's Robin Williams and he could do all the various iterations of the Southern accent.
But can he do Suffolk?
Probably not. Suffolk.
He'll certainly try.
Suffolk accent. Nope, that's wrong.
No, you're more West Country.
Slipped into the car wall. So, Rick, so you go to Brizzle, and it's like, where is it to?
Welcome to the Tour Radio Show, where we occasionally discuss accents. Is there any tangent we haven't gone on yet? Let us know.
You say you're from Suffolk, but you're significantly well-spoken, which is funny considering, because I listen to, obviously, because I'm narcissistic enough to listen to myself back on this show.
And... I can believe that.
purely for quality and research.
I'm not saying anything.
And it's actually quite a lot, because I always thought I was relatively well-spoken considering the level of education I've been lucky enough to enjoy. And
what's that?
What? Edumacation.
Yeah. We don't have that up here.
No. Just send them out in fields and up for best.
That's it.
I always consider myself well spoken, but it turns out listening to this show back, I'm really not.
No, not
I think I've gotten worse since I moved in country.
It's taken me, how many years have we done a podcast together, Matthew?
Too many.
Many.
How many years has it been? I think it's been at least 4.
It's been more than that, because I did a show in 2015. Yeah, I think it's about 6.
Okay. It's taking me at least 3 of those years just to get over listening to myself.
Yeah.
I still can't. If you're tired of listening to us too, give us a message on Twitter at Simcast Radio. Use the hashtag SimcastRSL and make sure you let us know in the collective as well. There you go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Please bring it all back around.
Yes, quick customer service announcement. If you are listening to this show, I don't know how this is going to work because you're probably not listening to the show. If you have subscribed the Tora Radio, the show thing, I don't know what's happening with this grammar. Anyway,
would you like me to attempt, Matthew?
What was I saying about edumacation? If you have previously subscribed to the Toro Radio Show, please unsubscribe from that because there is no more content, and please subscribe to the Simcast.
Yeah, so that's a good message to the people who aren't listening. Great.
Yeah. To those people who are listening, thank you.
Thank you.
And please make sure that you've subscribed so that you can keep up to date with all of our blustering idiocy.
And tell your friends.
Yes.
Tell your friends, if they also need something to listen to that's about as fun as pulling teeth.
I think we are
not
basically
a form of dental practice.
If you want to listen to two British people to compare accents and an American sounding bewildered and out of his depth.
Welcome!
This is the show for you. I haven't even introduced you guys yet. Hello, everybody.
No.
So welcome to the Simcast.
Jordan's here, obviously, and
you guys left the studio unlocked again.
Yeah, we've got a squatter.
He sleeps here.
Surprised
he sleeps on the Simcast sofa bed. It's all branded and stuff.
Hello, Ben.
Hello, Matt. Hello, Jordan.
Hello. Shall we? I dread to think how far into the show we're now.
We're 5 minutes in.
6 whole minutes.
Oh yeah, there we go.
The tangents get worse every week.
I would like
Shall
to
we talk
note
about
the,
some sim racing news.
There is.
I would
some.
Like to note the amount of restraint that I showed during the previous accent conversation because I can do at least 6 different versions of the Southern accent. But I chose not
anyway,
to take
iRacing,
part.
Everyone.
Yes, iRacing.
Can you save that for the NASCAR portion of the show? I think it might play to the audience.
I'll see what I can do.
We're trying to attract more listeners. We're not trying to drive them away.
Oh, right. Grief. Okay. iRacing. We had season two deployed, which the guys spoke about last week.
Yes. So many things. All the things added to iRacing.
Well, not quite all of the things, actually.
Not quite all of the things. Annoyingly, as this was... I think this was released as I was getting ready for the show.
Yeah, it's usually how it works. Yes. Mm-hmm. A couple of days after the Season 2 dropped, iRacing released their first hotfix, and with it came the McLaren 570S GT4, which was... somewhat unexpected, even though some people have managed to find the files for it in various locations.
I don't even think they teased that, had they?
No, I believe we had an idea it was coming, but we didn't know when, where, or how. But
as
yeah, well, just kind of
as someone who never has an idea, I was completely shocked.
From what I remember, there was some discussion online about how a couple eagle-eyed painters noticed that when you click download all templates from iRacing, that suddenly there was a McLaren 570S folder in and amongst the templates. I know at least Travis Johannes was one of them, our teammate and the son of Mikey, who's been on the show before.
Yes, eagle-eyed people. Have either of you two managed to give it a go yet? I have. It's good.
I have it, but no, I haven't.
I have not as either.
What
from what I can tell, though, it seems to have the cornering ability, even, of the M4, but has the straight line speed of the Porsche.
I'm just trying to think. Well, yeah, it's like, so we've got the M. We now got the M4, the Cayman, this.
Yes.
So really, and you're only missing one of the most prolific GT4 cars at the moment, which is the Vantage.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. And the Mustang would be nice as well. And the Camaro.
They aren't going to happen.
All of the GT4s.
Oh, just... Iris, can just add all the GT4s?
I'm actually disappointed. Yeah. I know we've said before, I am actually disappointed the Mustang isn't in ASCC.
Oh, gosh. No,
ASCC
is a Taurus series that I'm working on.
But yeah, the McLaren, from the couple of laps I've done, it's pretty good. I was a bit worried because I really didn't enjoy the BMW when that first launched. But that being said, oh no, the Cayman rather. But
the Cayman,
I mean.
Yeah, no.
But that being said, I haven't driven it in a while, so they might have actually improved it. But the McLaren's really good. One interesting thing I did see was a comparison between the model of the 570S in iRacing and the one in ACC. iRacing have always had a reputation for not looking great, but it looks really good now that they've put some polish on it. But ACC just is that next step. So
advantages of being a GT specialist title.
Yeah, GT specialist focus title on that stuff
and not based on an engine that was developed before Jordan was born.
Yes,
that's probably not far off.
No, it's not. the McLaren was definitely a surprise, to be sure, but a welcomed one.
It was, yeah. Totally recommend it. Yeah. I enjoyed the reference there.
We need to talk about IndyCar as well, don't we? Because
there's
some decent news about that, which I'm sure you're itching to get involved in.
Exciting. Well, I can't get involved with it, unfortunately.
By watching.
True.
And by voting.
I probably wouldn't want to drive in it anyway.
Oh, gosh.
I probably wouldn't want to drive in it anyway because I'll be very slow. But yes, the iRacing IndyCar Challenge is returning. And there was much rejoicing.
Yay.
We'll add that in post. One of the highlights of all the real world counterpart series things that happened during lockdown last year was the IndyCar series, apart from Indianapolis. We don't talk about Indianapolis.
No, we don't talk about it.
So in the lead up to the real NTT IndyCar series getting underway at Barber next month, I believe on April 18th, they will be hosting three of the virtual IndyCar iRacing Challenge events. So that will feature many of the drivers that race in IndyCar, including the likes of Hunter Ray, Pagano, Power, Award, the new additions to the series such as Scott McLaughlin and Romain Grosjean. They'll be having three events, so slightly shorter calendar than last year, which I believe was around six or seven. And they will be racing, so starting, actually, I believe they're starting about now or later this evening at Circuit Gilles Villeneuve. Awesome track choice. I still think that IndyCar should go there in real life, but that's a discussion for another time. Then next week, they'll be racing at Homestead Miami Speedway on the Oval on March 25th, and then the season will conclude on April 1st with a fan voted track, and fans will be able to vote from March 12th to the 15th for the site of that race.
I have two comments. First of all, that you're about 3 hours early, so the stream will be 6 p.m. Eastern, so that's about 3 hours from now.
So later this evening. Okay, cool.
So later this evening. Secondly, I hope iRacing and IndyCar have considered what happens when you ask the internet to vote things.
Racy McRace face. No, that can't. That's not.
No, it's Bushy McBush face.
I still love that. I'm so glad that won.
Yes, I fully expected that to win because it's the internet.
Furthermore,
that someone brought up Bodie McBoatface and that and made it Bushy McBoatface is like, oh, that's clearly the winner.
Yeah. Furthermore, though, to add to that, it's on April 1st, so it's just
that just makes it worse.
I haven't actually looked at the voting yet. Is it any track on the service, or have they selected a couple? Because I want to see IndyCar at Martinsville or Bristol Dirt.
Oh no, really?
It's a shame Knock Hill isn't in yet.
That said, if you think how good Virgin Supercars, as it was at Silverstone, I'd quite like to see them at Silverstone.
I've driven the IndyCar around Silverstone, and it is brilliant. Mm. That is a hell of a shout, actually. I wonder if that's on the list. Yeah.
I mean,
go vote Silverstone.
I mean, they could go to Brands because they did actually do that as well, but. They actually did it in real life, but yeah, I think...
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Kart went there in the 2000s.
I think Silverstone would probably be a better shout with the way the cars are now.
Yeah, the passing would be pretty difficult with Brands. Be fun, though.
Fun to try.
Yeah.
I could think of some drivers that wouldn't last.
So the options.
Oh, well, there are options. Yeah, tell us.
Oh, wait. Actually, the voting is over, actually.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course. We're on the. We passed the 15th.
We're past the 15th, yes. So the
what
winner.
Day is it?
So
we don't
just
know.
Talked about a voting yeah. thing that you can know.
So the options were Kentucky.
Now closed.
The options were Kentucky, Phoenix, Sonoma, and Sebring. And luckily for everyone, Sebring won.
Yay.
So the internet has not done internet things and chose the best selection.
That's going to be hilarious. I'm looking forward to that.
That
would be fun.
That being said, Kentucky was only, 6.6% behind Sebring.
Why would you want Kentucky? Kentucky is not a good track for IndyCar.
All hail the internet.
I don't know Kentucky. Is it short oval?
It's a 1.5 miler ish. It's kind of a cookie cutter, but problem is the dirty air in IndyCar just makes it very difficult. So it probably wouldn't be the best race. I'm sure they'd make it entertaining for this because there'll be wrecks aplenty, I'd assume. But probably. Yeah, Sebring's the better option there.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can fully expect us to bring you the results of those events. Shame it's happening on the same night that this show goes out, so you have to wait a whole week to find out. But yeah, we'll have the results of Circuit Gilles Villeneuve next week.
Mm-hmm.
And a little more, it is literally only a little more iRacing news. With a new partnership, real-world partnership, that is, Jordan.
Yes, iRacing have partnered with Next Level Racing for a number of new products that will be coming out in the second quarter of this year. Next Level Racing, I believe, sell rigs, cockpits, and stuff like that. So
varying shapes and sizes.
Yeah, so
everything from similar to what I have with it's pretty much just a stand that you can fold up and move to whole elaborate. Rigs.
Yeah, so I think it's fairly safe to assume that what we're going to get is cockpits with iRacing logos on it, but still, nevertheless, pretty cool to see.
That would be what I would say, just based on the solidary image that they've released.
Yeah. Oh, and in the statement here, it also says that they're introducing two co-branded cockpits, including the launch of a brand new premium simulator chassis. Will it rival the £60,000 Aston Martin chassis? Let's see.
Or the, what was it? The 200 or 2500,000 something one that was designed by Pininfarina.
Yes.
Or the scary one from Lamborghini, or that really angular thing from BMW that looks like a...
I was going to say, the BMW side table.
Hmm. I mean, it's not really news. I mean, this isn't the first time things like this happen. You think you've got, Playseat, and they do quite regularly partnerships with developers. I know there's a Forza one, there's been WRC ones, I'm pretty certain they've done a Gran Turismo one.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, there's loads of them, which is good. Don't get me wrong, it's very good, and it does broaden the range of iRacing treats that you can have for yourself that aren't based in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which aren't exactly replete at the moment.
I mean, I've been appreciating how much a good setup can do for you, just because, I'm on this wheel stand and a chair that has wheels on it, so every time I sit down to do something, everything's different.
Yeah.
Because I have to tear it down, set it back up for whenever I want to race. So it's every time I sit down to do a race, I have to move everything around to get it back to where it feels comfortable.
Yeah, when I got this rig earlier this year, that was the main thing. It didn't make, obviously, lap times any quicker, but it meant that everything was where I left it, and I could jump on and pretty much get up to speed straight away. So that's the real advantage of having a setup like this. Mm-hmm. So
I can tell you
also noticed that now that I have a glowed cell pedal, that because I'm literally pushing the pedal harder, my rig is sliding backwards from me as the race goes on. So I have to get to a straight, reach down, pull it back, and keep racing.
Things they don't have to worry about in real life.
Yes. Pat's turning off your Xbox and their brake pedals steadily getting further away from them.
Yep. Well, they've said about pedals, brake pedals getting longer and stuff like that, but I don't think that's quite what they meant.
Okay, so let's finally move away from iRacing.
Welcome to the iRacing Simcast show.
iRacing, do you like to sponsor our show?
Yeah. Send us some content. We'll review it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, just because, you know, Jimmy can do it. I mean, cool.
It's cool that they're doing that, though, because before they didn't even do anything like that.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. But, you know, include us as well.
And,
that'd be great.
And I can categorically say that Jimmy is a great salesman, because based on streams that I've watched of his, I've bought BeamMG, I've bought Automation.
I can't... Yeah, same here, honestly.
Yeah.
So I recently purchased... what's the title of the game? The car building
Automation. Yeah.
Is it Automation? Okay.
Yeah.
I keep trying to add like Simulator onto it end of it because it keeps like getting combined with Car Mechanic Simulator in my head for some reason.
My Summer Automation.
My Summer Automation Simulator.
That's a very different game. I need to get back involved because I played Automation a little bit because I didn't have the rig set up to jump onto Beam and test the jalopy that I built, trying to squeeze a 2-liter turbo engine into something the size of a mini.
You'll have to send me a picture of that because if you haven't put a massive wing on it, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, but the thing is, I know that it works in real life, sort of.
The first car that I built in that game, I took it into BMG and instantly blew the engine up, so I did something wrong.
That's a good thing. At least it's not subtle when you do something wrong. At least you know about it. Yeah.
Yes, there was a big bang and everything.
Oh, and of course I forgot Richard Burns Rally as well. Picked that up again because of his streams.
Yeah, I need to do that. Apparently that is brutal.
It is immense. It is extraordinarily good. And now I've got a rally-based wheel, I can properly make the most of it. Anyway,
Hashtag, get Jimmy on the Simcast.
Yes.
We're going to do that every week, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Until we wear him down. And he sends us a cease and desist.
Yes. Maybe we can somehow figure out a sneaky way to get a Simcast logo on his new Mint Miata. MX-5.
Suddenly Simcast.
Hashtag suddenly Simcast.
Yes.
What was the...
R-Factor 2?
There was something I was talking in our chat back about. There's something about Lewis that needed to be on a t-shirt.
Not about him being a zebra hunter.
I was going to say, does it have to do with Turner and their fascination of turning Lewis into a zebra hunter?
Yes, I don't know. I feel like
I've missed part of a joke somewhere.
I feel like I have as well.
You know when you feel like you sort of like just dropped in, you've just been dropped into a conversation halfway through and you're like... Okay.
It's good to know that there are as weird people out there.
It is.
Is it good or is it also kind of like, oh, kind of scary? More of me?
Well, I came at them with heffalumps and woozles and that seemed to sort of blindside them a little bit better.
I missed you doing that. Oh, that's really funny.
Bless them. Hello, Turner Motorsport. We hope you have a fantastic weekend.
Yes.
Absolutely. With your BAR. Don't bring any zebras.
No. Hashtag, don't hurt zebras.
Eat more zebras.
No zebras are harmed in the making of this podcast.
Hashtag, respect the zebras.
Yes.
Okay, now we're going to get PETA involved. So
let's move on before we get animal charities
before, before we get before we get Elliot Page sending us angry messages.
Off back to two news from Jordan's favourite classification of car in that title as well at the moment, Formula E.
Yes, Formula E. More updates. Well, this one's more of, I guess it's more of a hot fix than anything. There's no new content, sadly. But yes, R Factor 2, Studio 397 have addressed some of the outstanding issues with the Formula E tracks and the Gen 2 Formula E car. They've also, you know, updated some of the liveries and track signage to make it more in fitting with the current iterations of the circuits. So not much in the way, like there's nothing to get massively excited about, but everything will look nice and shiny. And yeah, all the little details like liveries being correct and stuff like that. So if you're like me, a big fan of the Formula E content on R Factor 2, you'll probably be quite happy for it. So, and we shall get on to the next round of the Formula E Accelerate Championship later in the show.
I'm reading all the various little changes, and I'm particularly tickled by, for the Formula E test track, they replaced tire stacks with Tech Pro. What's Tech Pro?
Do you not know what Tech Pro is? It's a barrier. It's like the Safer Barrier. Okay. It's the European equivalent of Safer Barrier.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
It's some kind of glue. it's like Gorilla Glue or something.
It's not
just to put in your hair.
It's not removing hole in pavement.
We're always going to bring that up, aren't we? Nothing in here that's quite on that level, sadly.
What is ridiculous is when they had the hot list fixes for various games, I really do look at them to try and find better that.
I'm looking through our next. I'm looking through our next subject now, and trying to just see if I can spot something, but I can't.
I don't think you will.
I don't think we'll ever find anything as good as fixing random hole somewhere.
Fixing random hole.
That's the peak.
That's just someone's way of saying finding someone they didn't like and hitting them. In my mind,
into the hole you go.
Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
anyway, Automobilista 2. Reed Studios have brought out a new hotfix, and yeah, sadly, there's nothing that rivals the random hole on the Isle of Man. But they have added the 2021 Brazilian stock car, which is good news because we do like the Brazilian stock car on AMS2. That is one of the highlights of the sim.
By we, he means he.
I enjoy it too.
I haven't the game, so I can't.
I must say, it's not kept me as much as I thought it was going to be. But then I'm fully expecting that I'm going to be well back on AMS2 when they bring in the vintage Nordschleife layouts.
But as we've discussed before, apart from I'm guessing, improvements to physics and that kind of thing. This is basically Project Cars 2.5.
The way we accepted this is what Project Cars 3 should have been.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But you get
as I believe we have said every time that we mention Project Cars 3.
Yes.
I just think it does need staging though.
Project Cars 3. Who swore on my show?
Oh,
it's the caveat. We're allowed to mention it. No, we can't. Because three is the... if you mention that on this show, it's like punching one of our nans kind of thing. It's just not... don't do it.
No, not at the minute.
I mentioned Project Cars 3 on this show.
Medication, she'll come back at
and somewhere... You mentioned Project Cars 3 and somewhere, a puppy goes hungry. That came out darker than I intended.
What is it with us and animals this show?
Fairy dust.
I don't know. No animals were harmed in the making of the Simcast.
I don't know, I've kicked the cat out. Out.
So yes, AMS2. Somewhere we were talking about AMS2. Yes. Yeah, head on now for your latest Brazilian stock car series fix. That's pretty much where we were going before we got
started. I'm glad he added stock car fix, because there was a pause there and I was thinking, no.
No. Great.
I do see one again, thing that I want to ask about for AMS2. Stock Corolla, fixed brake disc visual glitch. What was it doing? Was it like glowing when it should have been glowing? Was it like disappearing where you couldn't be seen? Was it like I was talking with Toro Media guy Zach Scholes about the Tesla super late model that he's making for iRacing, excuse me, and for some reason whenever he pulled up the paint, the brake disc decided that they no longer wanted to be behind the wheels and jetted out into past the rims. So was it like that?
You don't need brakes in super late models. It's like Arca brakes but on steroids. So yes. You don't need them.
It produces Rainbow Road. Right, moving on. Ferrari Esports Series returning for 2021. Yes. The thing that I forgot that I duly entered and then forgot to participate in.
So are you going to be doing the same thing this year?
No, because I've already got the car.
Yeah, but you will be forgetting to participate, right?
I usually
is my entire half of the country being excluded again this year?
Yes, it is. Yes, sadly,
half of the world. Excuse me.
It is once again only available to those in Europe. But yes, the Ferrari Esports Series is returning once again. Anymore, then. You make a good point.
Just saying.
So the series will once again be taking place on Assetto Corsa, not Competizione, the original. And yes, there will be qualification stages leading into a series of races. So it's these similar sort of esports series format that we've come to know, you know, qualifications and X amount of drivers go through to the races. So the events will be broadcast later this year on Ferrari's official Twitch channel. Mm-hmm. I still find it mind-boggling that we're at the point where Ferrari have a Twitch channel, considering that a couple of years ago they were not going to do nothing to do with sim racing. But alas, here we are, so it's good. And yes, you can register to take part now on the official website. And forget about it like we did.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a car. That's nice. Oh, thanks, Ferrari. What was this for again? I have got a thought about this. Just the one. Do you remember a couple of shows ago we were talking about... We brought this up because we were saying how... Oh, do you remember when Ferrari nicely gave everyone a car?
Yeah.
But the reason for that conversation coming up was because we were actually discussing those
equal BMW
found a BMW file.
Mm.
So I was half expecting this to be that news.
Yeah, we've not heard anything more of that yet. I wonder if that's long in the future, soon, I don't know. Well, I mean, it'll be exciting though, because it's good to see. Yeah, it's good to see more series going to Assetto Corsa now.
I mean, we are assuming that it is a series, because don't forget it was also, I want to say early last year, but I don't even know what it is anymore, that they added that the KTM GT4, didn't they? Randomly out of the
Yes,
road.
That's a good point. Yeah, so that wasn't for a series. That was just they decided to do it. So.
Exactly. So there is potential that it could just be for a car. I can't imagine this is BMW, and they have gone all in with esports. So I can't imagine that is the case.
It's interesting, though, because you would have thought, though, with BMW being so heavily involved, as you say, and specifically with iRacing, that if they were going to do something, it would be on iRacing.
Well, they have done.
If they're now going to branch out into other sims, such as Assetto Corsa, as well as iRacing, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, they've got, what, two, three specific brand-specific series going on? Well,
I believe so.
Two, because one uses the M8, and one used the... One used a 2 series, but that wasn't on iRacing. That was on Race Room, I think, actually. I'm not making that up. That definitely is a thing. I've seen it advertised.
Wait, what?
So I know there. What I'm trying to say is, I know there are more. There's a couple of BMW series.
Yeah, there is definitely
that have happened on a couple of platforms. I know they're running the one make series on iRacing again anyway. But yeah, I think because it's the M2CS, I think it is, isn't it, that they're
that's the hidden one.
I can see them running that because that is a car that's used at the Nordschleife as an example. So having a one make series for that car wouldn't be a big stretch. This is no different. This is basically the future version. Like, you remember when Audi used to have their TT Cup? You know,
yes.
And there was the Seat Leon Cupra series in the UK and all that sort of thing, where, you know, you get one brand just going all out to really push a particular car model. Well, this is the future way of doing it, you know, in my humble opinion. But anyway, so that's very cool. Well done, Ferrari. Good to see you've embraced motorsport more so than Mercedes have.
Whilst we're on the subject of esports series that are taking place on Assetto Corsa, I actually forgot to mention this to you guys before the show, but the V10R League is returning for its second season on Assetto Corsa. This is the series that uses the Racing Studio custom Formula One-esque car that isn't actually available to the public. Please make it available to the public. It looks amazing.
Yes, please.
I want to put you there.
We want that sound.
It's really good. It's quite a unique format, if I remember rightly. There's like a playoff format, and it's kind of more matches than races, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
But the headline heading into season two is that McLaren Shadow and RHG Esports are joining. RHG Esports being Romain Grosjean's esports team. And McLaren Shadow are entering with James Baldwin.
Oh.
So... It's getting a bit of a stacked lineup going on there when you consider they've also got the likes of Aston Martin Cognizant, BMW Motorsport, Red Bull Racing Esports, Fordzilla, Team Suzuki?
Excellent.
I didn't notice that before.
Excellent.
Is it Yas Heat is one of the other
Yas Heat, yep. And Williams Esports and Redline, because Redline are in everything.
Redline's in everything.
So yeah, that's a pretty interesting lineup. I believe these races were also broadcast on BT Sport in the UK, if I'm not mistaken. I might be making that. I feel like I've seen that. Yes, they were.
I know that. Yeah, I know there was because I avoided it.
Well, I had no choice because I don't have BT Sport.
That's not fair. It was on. It was on the same time as something else I actually wanted to watch. So.
Ah, right.
The V10R League, it's what happens when you take the typical first-person shooter esports format and apply it to racing, basically.
Yeah, it's short, snappy kind of events.
Events, team on team.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool to see people trying these new formats. I must admit, I didn't really pay too much attention to the first season purely because I couldn't watch it on BT Sport. I'm sure there's probably a free version online that we can watch, but I'll have to pay more attention to
this. I don't think there is.
Well, if not, I'll
I don't remember there being one, at least.
But yes, so season two, we'll be learning more about it soon, I believe. They will be fighting over a £120,000 prize pool.
Blimey.
Over seven matches at five circuits. So yeah, we shall bring you more information about that when we get it.
Well, speaking of RSS... We do need to.
Talk yes.
Because I'm on their website at the moment looking at cars I really, really need to own.
Yes, and there's another one coming soon as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if we have time, I have a couple of Forza things actually to add.
I need to.
Racing Studio, they're bringing out the Formula Hybrid 2021 soon. And this time there was actually much rejoicing because I think we've probably mentioned this mod more than any other on the show.
I think we all own the Formula Hybrid 2020.
Yeah, and I think loads of other people do as well, because it is definitely, I would say it's the most popular paid mod, at least in Assetto Corsa, and there's a reason for that. The Racing Studio guys are fantastic at their craft. and that, yes, they're promising this to be the most detailed, best quality mod that they've ever been able to produce. So, of course, it complies with the little changes that have been made to the 2021 Formula One regulations. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We don't have a release date yet, but usually they don't wait too long between announcement and release, so we could probably expect that. It'll probably go out while we're recording this. So that's how it usually goes.
It's interesting, yeah. Actually. You think how quickly they've turned that around, but you look at some of the shots. This works really well on radio, I know. But you look at some of the shots of the car on their website, racingstudio.com / Formula-Hybrid-2021, or just go to their website and click on the Formula 2021 thing, because it'll be the first thing that's there.
Or go to our Twitter, because we will share it, no doubt.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And certainly the design elements around the rear of the car and around the cockpit area, very, very, you know, akin to what we're seeing on track. At the 2021, we knew was going to be a subtle year.
Mm.
And such is the case with these cars, but they've done some amazing work with that.
I've just noticed as well, because as you say, they've turned it around really quickly. Pre-season testing for Formula One was last Friday to Sunday, and that was our first glimpse at most of the cars, because when they launch the cars online, they don't show us what the cars are, because, you know, Formula One. And on this model here, you can see just by the floor, it's got the wavy kind of... I think they call it the lasagna effect that the Mercedes, I believe, has got quite prominently. So for them to have replicated these kind of details in that quickly, it's really impressive.
But it's even things like the incredibly tight packaging around the rear of the car, how small the radiators are at the front, replaced, you know, obviously for legality reasons, you've got the massive like biplane effect wing type things along the width of them. Apparently, running parallel to the cockpit. It's a stunning thing, really stunning.
Yeah.
The only thing that would have made it more perfect if they'd rounded off the nose a bit more, like the Mercedes and Aston Martins are.
It would be cool if they, because they even go to the trouble of having details such as being able to change. I think on the 2020 Formula Hybrid, you could add the little aerodynamic winglets on top of the halo. You could toggle them on and off. It would be cool if you could add, like, if you could toggle the shape of that nose, as you mentioned, or maybe even you've seen how the Alpine Formula One car has a very different designed airbox.
Yeah.
Whether you could even have that as a toggleable thing. Well, I don't know whether that's possible.
Well,
but...
interesting, because head-on, this car has that kind of slightly wider airbox look to it. It's been compared to one of the 1970s teapot cars. I forget which,
The Ligier in particular, right. I believe the Alpine resembled. Yeah,
what a surprise!
Very nerdy stuff. I like it.
I love all this sort of stuff. It's brilliant, but
it's like harking back to which manager game it was, where you could have the upgrades from the season as it happened in real life. It was the early 2000s, wasn't it? But yeah, that stuff, we like that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And the thing is, we're getting all nerdy and excited about this, and this car isn't even real. It's an amalgamation of all the things we're seeing on the real cars. It's so cool. So head over to Racing Studio. I particularly am going to be probably picking up the RSS 2000 V10 and the 1990 V12, because I don't have.
They are both excellent. They really are. And you've got VR now as well. You need to get in the 1990, both of them actually, in VR. It's just intoxicating.
Yeah,
100% recommend that.
Yeah, very, very, very cool indeed. Right, I think that's pretty much all the actual...
Can I add a couple things real quick?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. So, I know we give Forza a lot of crap on this show. Despite the fact that my position in the Tour, but there's actually a couple cool competitions going on right now. There's one that it is a, it's a basic, your basic like hot lap challenge. You are the fastest. I can't remember how much it is. You're the fastest X amount of players get to then race, and then the top half continue on to the next round and things like that. There's a competition right now sponsored by IMSA for Forza Motorsport 7, where the top three will be able to actually attend the final round of the IMSA championship at the Petit Le Mans later this year. There will be four tracks, with the first race this Saturday at Sebring, followed by Lime Rock Road America and Monster Race Laguna Seca, as it's still known as in Forza Motorsports. Forza's tweeted all the relevant links, so you can go check out the competition if you are so inclined to take part in that. It is only for North and South America residents, though. So, sorry. The other one is a DHL Race the Stars Forza tournament, which DHL has partnered with ESL to do. Coming up this weekend, you'll be able to sign up and race to eventually get on to test your skills against some DHL drivers, including Ryan Hunter-Reay, the 2012 IndyCar champion, the 2018 NHRA Funny Car champion, J.R. Todd, and Sean Langdon, the 2013 Top Fuel NHRA champion. The winners of that will get a signed copy of each driver's cars, a virtual meet with them, and a gaming chair, which is all the information that they've provided. There are three different times, depending on who you want to race, so make sure to be aware of that. You can sign up on ESL Gaming/Forza DHL Race the Stars. You'll be able to find it that way. Okay, I'm done now. Sorry, I wanted to add that in just because they're pretty cool competitions. It's just that we haven't really covered them on the show yet.
And it's on Forza. Oh, well.
And it's on Forza. People still play that game.
Apparently.
I mean, Tor just did their 12 hours of Sebring races past weekend. We had 405 drivers.
That's not bad. Not bad at all. Well, speaking of esports competition, Jordan, in the last 10 minutes, let's talk about, I'm going to say
esports
three.
Esports roundup of the week. I'm committing to this. I'm still waiting for the auto-tune.
Every time you do it, though, Jordan, it just sounds like you're dying inside. It's just...
Maybe I am.
That's what
in 2 weeks, it's just going to be Esports Roundup of the Week.
It's a good job this is radio, because what you can't see is me rocking back and forth in my chair. Formula E Accelerate.
This is a safe place.
Formula E Accelerate had its latest round at the Diria circuit, which is a new addition to R Factor 2. That was, I believe, was it last Thursday? It always comes out on the worst day. Thursdays are a bad day. Sim racing organizers out there, don't do Thursdays. Yes, Frederik Rasmussen started on pole for Dragon at the Diria Street Circuit, and the top three in the championship, Rasmussen included, all started in the top three, with the championship leader Erhan Yajovsky starting third behind Kevin Siggy. Aside from a little bit of contact mid-race between Rasmussen and Siggy while battling for the lead, it was fairly uneventful. Rasmussen had it pretty much under control. It was only really during the attack mode phases where things got a little bit spicy. As a result, Rasmussen was able to come home to take the win, which is surprisingly his first victory in Formula E Accelerate. I would have assumed that a driver of his caliber would have already had a win by now, but apparently not. Yajovsky would hold on to take second ahead of Siggy in the Venturi. Bono Huis would take fourth ahead of Graham Carroll, with Marius Golombek sixth ahead of Stefanko, Lawrence Herzing, and Peter Burliak. The F1 Esports reigning champion Jarno Otmir would complete the top 10 and thus the points paying positions. Unbelievably, there are only three races remaining. This, along with the Porsche Esports Super Cup, they're really rattling along. 19 points now separate the championship leader Yajovski from Rasmussen. And the next race, which I believe, I think it's today or tomorrow, the days are blending into one, will be taking place at the fictional Electric Dock Circuit, which is, it's quite an interesting one. I don't really gel with it, but it will be interesting to see how the drivers get on with a fictional track.
They really did miss an opportunity there for a fictional circuit naming, didn't they?
What would you have called it? Dare I ask?
Electric Avenue.
Oh, that's so much better. I thought you were going to say Electric Boogaloo. Right. or Electric McElectric Face.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh.
No, come on. I'm,
no.
I'm a child of the 80s. I have a little bit more taste than that.
What is taste?
Electric Avenue.
Exactly.
Good lord, it's singing week here on the Simcast. Yes, next in the esports roundup of the week, I'm not going to sing it this time. Porsche Esports Super Cup at Spa.
I just realised that pesk. Pronounces pesk.
Pesk.
And I will not be referring it to it as that because it will make me giggle. Championship leader Joshua Rogers would take pole position at Spa ahead of nearest rival Mitchell De Jong, the one of the busiest men in sim racing. Except it wasn't that simple for Rogers, as De Jong and Rogers would make contact on lap one. It was a little bit chaotic. It was into the hairpin. You go through Lake Orme. I think it's Bruxelles. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm probably butchering it. I'm sorry. I don't speak French. And as a result of the contact, they both went into the gravel, both fell to the very back. And to make matters worse, Sebastian Jobe would take the lead. And he is one of the drivers who could claw his way back into the championship hunt, despite Rogers having quite a large lead. Jobe would go on to take the sprint race win, just holding off Charlie Collins and Alejandro Sanchez. For the feature race, the longer feature race, Zach Campbell would start on pole as a result of the reverse grid. He finished 8th in the sprint race. Rogers and De Jong would start down in 26th and 29th, that's not great. However, there was yet more carnage at Lake Orme. All of the early leaders of the race wrecked. And that meant that Jobe, who had been, or the podium finishers from the sprint race, Jobe, Collins and Sanchez, were immediately back into first, second and third again. So it worked brilliantly for them. It's amazing. They do say that racing requires skill and luck, and it seems as though that transfers over to sim racing. In the end, Jobe would just about hold off a last lap challenge from Sanchez to take the win, and therefore take the double at Spa-Francorchamps. Sanchez and Benneke would complete the podium. Rogers managed to recover from 26th to 13th, but De Jong didn't make as much progress and could only manage 25th. Despite all of that, we talk about luck. Rogers' lead has actually extended in the championship. He was leading by 87 points heading into Spa. He now leads by 99. However, De Jong is now no longer in second place. Sebastian Jobe's double victory has now moved him into the runner-up spot with three rounds remaining. And next week, it's the big one. March 27th, Pesk will be racing at the Nordschleife.
What surprises me about that is how often we've talked about Sebastian Jobe so far in this series, and he's not leading.
No, he's been one of the people, until Spa, Rogers has had an unbelievable run of form. I believe his worst, one of his most unfortunate races, he still finished like sixth or something like that. This is his first setback and he's still got a 99 point lead. So it's really going to take a lot of chaos for anyone to catch him, but it's the Nordschleife coming up, so it could easily happen.
It's a shame it doesn't rain on iRacing, isn't it?
Oh, it would be great, wouldn't it? We got dirt. We could just take him to Bristol.
Porsche's on Bristol.
I have heard that the Porsche has been updated in the recent new season, and apparently it's a lot better to drive now. So I might have to give that a go. because that was one of the cars that I know you were struggling with as well. Yeah. Might have to give that a go.
I don't think the unique qualities of a Porsche would translate well to dirt racing.
I don't think Cup Series will either, but yeah, here we are.
Yeah, that's true.
Before we move on from Spa, just briefly mentioning the Porsche Esports Super Cup All-Stars Series. The guest star this week, so last week it was Lawrence Van Thor, and we thought, yeah, that's a bit unfair, you know. But this week it was Tony Kanaan.
So they doubled down.
Dan Sasolke would claim pole position with the championship leader Emily Jones qualifying down in fourth. Dave Cameron, or Dave Cam as he's known in on YouTube, would actually come home to take the win. I believe it was his first start in this as well, so that was quite impressive, ahead of Borgia, Zazo and Jones on the podium. The reverse grid pole would go to Kanaan, which was unfortunate because he would then dominate the feature race to take the win ahead of Javier Sanchez and Emily Jones. They too will also be back in action with the All-Star Series at the Nordschleife, which will be very interesting.
Was it Tony Kanaan who did a full sim rig change during one of the endurance?
That was Simon Pagenaud.
Oh, it was Pagenaud.
Yeah, another IndyCar driver. That was really impressive, though.
I was going to say, right sport, wrong driver.
Quite a surprise that the Team Penske driver has, you know, the spare rig right there.
I mean, don't you?
I wish. I've got a Thomas Tank Engine controller. Does that count?
Oh, no.
You know what? Pagenaud whipped out a Thomas the Tank controller to finish his race.
I would have even more respect for him than I even currently do.
It's like when the race were doing their All-Stars stuff, and Jack Villeneuve, the one race he suddenly did really, really well in, and it turned out he was using a controller.
He was on a pad.
He wasn't even on a wheel.
Yeah. Winning a race with the Thomas the Tank Engine.
Capello did it with a wheel strapped to what looked like a chest of drawers.
Hey, I've heard of I'm sure you guys both remember Christian Gomez. He's been on the show before. Mm. He won his first Tora Indy 500 strapped with his wheel that I now own, strapped to the ironing board at his hotel.
Excellent.
Yeah. Excellent. And I totally forgot the joke I was going to make. Ah, got it back. So, Jordan, you winning a race with a Thomas the Tank Engine controller is like winning a race using the Guitar Hero guitar.
I've seen people doing that on YouTube, though, and I kind of want to get a hold of Guitar Hero controller to give it a go.
Mm-hmm. Remember that whole stream that Jimmy did? I think it was Gran Turismo 2, yeah, where he tried to get all the gold medals using a Guitar Hero guitar.
Yeah. I shan't be trying that. And in the final bit of esports roundup of the week news, eNASCAR, their fourth round of the season took place at the virtual Atlanta Motor Speedway on Tuesday night. We mentioned him just now. Mitchell DeJong for 23-11 Racing took his second pole position, which is quite impressive because he's only done four eNASCAR races. So he's qualifying really well. He does seem to struggle in the race, as I'll allude to in a second. But he's quite disgustingly good, is Mitchell DeJong. He would lead the opening 50 laps of the race leading up to the first caution. However, he would be overtaken by the 97 of Logan Clampett on the ensuing restart. And from there, DeJong kind of just slowly was shuffled further back. I believe he eventually finished down in 19th. Clampett, however, full steam ahead for him, if you'll ignore the subtle reference to Thomas the Tank Engine again. He would only lose the lead during the green flag pit stop cycle later on in the race, and would go on to take his third eNASCAR victory. Again, another person who I thought had more. And it was quite, I don't know if you guys have seen the footage of him crossing the line to win, but the emotion there, it's quite nice to see. I do like seeing the emotion from sim racing guys, because it's bloody difficult to win these races. The caliber of the grid is insane.
If I remember correctly, he posted on Twitter that he had gone 44 races without a win.
Yeah, his last win was at Indianapolis in 2018. So it's been quite a winless streak for him, and he's gone through a couple of teams since, but it seems that his move to William Byron Esports has paid off. It was actually a 1-2 finish for William Byron Esports too, with Nick Ottinger finishing in second place, about 2 seconds behind Logan. Zach Nichols would take third for Williams Esports, so it's a good day if your team has William in it. Ben, you should have been there. Michael Conti and Stephen Wilson would complete the top five with, as I said, the pole sitter De Jong slipping back to 19th. The eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series will continue on March 30th at the Virtual Auto Club Speedway, which is interesting because that will be the only NASCAR event that takes place at Auto Club this year because the Cup, Truck and Xfinity Series aren't actually racing there. Mm. So, yeah, if you like Auto Club, there's your chance to watch it this year.
There we go. And that was the eSports Roundup of the week. Badly delivered. Don't care. And that's the and that's the show. We were going to go do a bit of a round robin, to, obviously, cause it's been a pretty desperate week for motorsport fans around the world. But we don't really want to. Mm-hmm. We know our friends at Midweek Motorsport will have covered that in depth yesterday. So please do, if you haven't listened to Midweek Motorsport, please do catch that on the on-demand service, RadioLeMans.com.
Mm-hmm.
All I will say is, you know, and this will be all I will say about it, is two great people, two inspirational people, have left us in the last week. Mm-hmm. Two people that I've respected from, mm-hmm, afar. One for decades got me into the sport, and the second that I've been aware of in the last sort of 10-15 years or so. But all I'm going to say on this is, you never truly know what you've lost until it's gone. So look after that. Look after everyone that's close to you, and don't ever take anything for granted. I'm Matt Hunter. Ben has been present, and.
Man, this show is really ending on a downer.
And that is our I prefer inspirational. And that is our show. Stay safe, everyone. See you soon.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast, wherever you get your podcasts.